Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd started doing some reflection on what was to be my midweek sermon coming up. I'm going to Salem on Wednesday night. And my focus throughout Lent is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be your name. So I'm going to preach that sermon today. So I'll just read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your name, and the gift of the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray that you bless us today as we come to you prayerfully, faithfully, to hear your word and to meditate on that word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's in a name? Wrote Shakespeare, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. The reference, of course, is in relation to the forbidden love between Romeo and Juliet, because she's a Capulet and he's a Montague, and you know the story. What's in a name? People spend their lives loving or loathing their names. First names, middle names, last names, nicknames especially. I wonder if Shakespeare would have changed his tune if he had heard some of the weird and wonderful names people give their kids these days, especially our celebrities. Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter, Apple, Frank Zappa's daughter, Moon Unit, those poor children. What's in a name? What's in a name? It's probably more than we think. Names give us access to people. They allow relationships to begin and to grow and to flourish. They make our communication personal. They make it possible. They tend to be the first thing we learn about someone else. And if you've ever had the experience of forgetting someone's name that you feel you should know, you know the unease that can create in a relationship. I do it almost every week, so don't feel too bad about it. What's in a name? What's in a name? Lutherans tend to be interested in people's surnames or their maiden names so they can place them. Know what people they belong to, what book they're in, what ship they came out on, all those sort of things. Take a great interest in that. And of course, if it's not a good, German Lutheran name, we get very confused by that. It's part of our culture, Lutheran Church, I suppose, for better or worse. Names can unite us, they can divide us, they can create ties between us or tensions between us as well. What's in a name? According to the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, there is a great deal in a name. Hallowed be your name, Jesus taught us to pray. Those who are here on Wednesday night, for Ash Wednesday, focused a bit on our Father in heaven. Today, hallowed be your name. It's a strange turn of phrase. It's not the way we normally talk, and yet for us in the church, it kind of rolls off our tongue pretty easily because we're so familiar with the prayer. But what does it mean? What's in God's name? And what does it mean to hallow that name? In other words, what are we actually saying when we pray this prayer? What's in God's name? A Jewish rabbi stood in front of his predominantly Jewish class at Cambridge University, one of the colleges there, and asked them, what's God's most important gift to his people? The one Christian in the class, who later became one of my lecturers, knew that his answer would not be the rabbi's answer. So he started racking his brain. What's he talking about? What's he thinking of? What's this most precious gift of God? After a long silence, the rabbi answered his own question by telling the class that God's greatest gift was his name. The Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am, the name by which the Jewish people were to address and worship and understand and speak of their God. God's name was considered such a precious gift, the most precious gift, because it was the first part of God's self-revelation and a key part of their relationship with Him. It's very hard to talk about someone or to someone you only know in very general terms and descriptions. And not by name. Now, there are many names for God in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. I've mentioned just a few. Jesus calls God Father and invites us to do the same. The end of Matthew's Gospel, the disciples are sent out to baptize in the name, which is interestingly singular, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That too is a very precious name for us as Christians. When Jesus prays for God's name to be hallowed, I tend to think he isn't just referring to one of those names, but all of them. And not even just to all of the names, but to everything those names mean, to the whole reputation and identity of God. What's in God's name? God's name is how we get to know him, and what he's like, what that means. When we say something like, she really made a name for herself, or he's given us a bad name, what are we talking about? It's not just a title by which someone's addressed. We're talking about a reputation, what we know of them or a group of people. That's the name. It has to do with identity. So too, Christians can give Christ a bad name or a good name. And you know that we give him a bad name when we, you know, don't practice what we preach, and when we kind of accept the parts of Christianity that suit us and not the rest of them, and different things like that. It gives Christ a bad name. Or there's a lot of things we can do to give Christ a good name, to increase and improve his reputation in the world. What's in hallowing God's name? What does it mean to hallow the name of God? Luther says this in the Small Catechism: God's name is holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. It's a really important distinction. God's name is hallowed. It is holy. It is special. It is weighty. It's important. It's significant. Inherently, that's what it is. But what we're praying for is that it would be that among us, practically, daily, in our lives, which is something different. It can be that without being that. And so the prayer is that what it is by its nature would be the case for us too in our daily lives. God's name is hallowed, and we pray in this prayer that it be hallowed, and what that does is defend one of the really important commandments God's given us, the second commandment, to not take that name in vain. So in a sense, this prayer acts in defense of this commandment. And Luther says when we want to keep the second commandment, it's not just about not using God's name in a certain way, although it is that, but it's also about using it in a certain way. Praying with it, praising it, giving thanks. So there's something not to do, and there's something to do in that commandment. And this prayer helps us to do what we're supposed to do with the name of God. But here's one thing I find interesting about this little petition. What we say is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Who's doing the hallowing? It's what we call a divine passive in the Bible. And basically what it means is that God's doing the action. What we're asking is for God to do something. God to hallow his name, God to make his name holy and revealed and special and honored in the world. And of course that he would help us to do the same as he leads more and more people to know that name. But the emphasis in the prayer is not on us, but on him. And again, it's an important distinction. This is his work, and it's his world, and it's his name, and it's his kingdom coming, and it's his will being done. That's our emphasis when we pray the Lord's Prayer. You see, we can spend our lives, and we do, trying to make a name for ourselves. And it can all be taken away in the blink of an eye. Or we can spend our lives trying to make a name for God and look back at the end of it and think, wow, we kind of lost just as much ground as we gained for him. But it's only when we come to God and we ask him to hallow his name, we put the emphasis where it belongs on the work of God in our world and our lives, and ask him to be made known and ask him to be honored, then we start to bring ourselves into line with his will and his work. And we're naturally helped in doing the same thing because we bear his name too by our baptism and by our faith. St. Peter once stood up among his Jewish colleagues, not at Cambridge University, but in a Sanhedrin, and he was on trial for the name of Christ. That's what put in there. And he stood up and he said this, "It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God's raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed today. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given by which we must be saved." There is no other name given. We too stand healed, forgiven in the name of Christ. And that's true for us, whether we have a good German Lutheran surname or not. And God knows us by name. And that's true for us, whether we are good at remembering other people's names or not. And if we're not, we should just ask, not be so proud about it. And it's true for us, whether we have a name which has plagued us our whole life, or a surname that's caused us great angst and great anger, or a nickname which has caused us great trial, a lot of people do, or not. God says there is a name that is above every other name. There is a name that you can come to and leave that anger and angst and difficulty behind. There is a name you can step under that can be your name, and a gracious name, and a wonderful name to bear in the world. And it is the name that is above every name, and it is the name by which we can be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this Lord's Prayer, this gift to your church, we pray for the hallowing of your name, and sometimes that's a strange thing to hear and to pray. We probably don't focus a great deal on what it means. But we pray that your name would be hallowed, would be made holy in the world and in our lives, and that we would come and work with you, for you, in bearing your name to the world, in improving the reputation you have, that you would help us to enjoy and rest and find our hope in the name of Christ, in whose name we also pray. Amen.